Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Oh, they're going to cut the shit out and stuff.
Yeah, we do whatever we want.
Here we are, the Life and Dentistry Podcast.
Falling apart here.
Will, here we go.
Do y'all recognize that name?
I figure I got to fit in.
Is that Eastern or Western?
That's a little bit of Eastern, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Eastern. Yeah.
Eastern what? Eastern Kentucky?
Eastern, well, that in Tennessee is pretty much Eastern. Same thing.
Well, so. What if I want to do Southern? I got to draw it out like that?
Well, if we're going to be honest, I think you're a little lower, aren't you? North. Yeah, well, we were talking geography. Isn't North Carolina south of Kentucky?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, you never know these days.
T-Bone fits in wherever he's at. I try.
Oh, yeah.
He blends.
I really, listen. It is a skill I learned growing up as a brown person in a black and white world.
Yeah, we went there.
You have to learn to fit in.
Yeah. Just have to fit in?
No, you have to.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you have to, because white people don't like you, black people don't like you. So you just have to find your, you know, you literally have to find your way in. I'm talking about 1980s. Obviously,
yeah,
it's very different now in 2020, but, you know, 1980s, growing up in a town of 5,000-6,000 people where there's like literally two or three brown people. You know, that you got to learn to fit in. Yeah. And that's why I think sometimes my wife and I argue a lot, because I don't think my kids are treated badly and they have it easy, because, you know,
compared
just,
to how you had
compared,
it.
Compared. I mean, yeah. And it's not like I didn't think it was bad. I just learned to assimilate, basically.
Yeah. I'd say it was barefoot in the snow both ways, but it's North Carolina.
And yeah. Listen,
turns out you don't have snow.
It's still the greatest country in the world. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Still, I think the greatest state in the country. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else at this stage of my life. I think at some point I want to be somewhere else, but not right now. So I've been very pleased in North Carolina.
It's beautiful. I love it down here.
Well, one thing's for sure, the Life and Dentistry crew loves T-Bone.
Well,
and Brian.
I pay you guys enough.
wait.
Zero.
We are here at the 3D Dentist.
Man, World. What about this place we're at?
This is a mansion.
I got to tell this. So.
This is a mansion.
So we get here last night. Me and Matthew rode together. And we get here. Was it like 2 o'clock when we pulled in?
2
o'clock. And, I mean, there was a sign out front that said 3D Dentist. So I knew we were in the right spot. But we pull up and there's no vehicles here. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's this huge, big mansion of a house, we're calling it. I'm like, dude, are you sure this is the right place? He's like, yeah, it's the right place. So he walks in. I think friend maybe opened the door or let's see. I'm like, we're going to set like alarms off or something. I'm like, you know, what's going to happen here? So, but no, this is an amazing
guard dog. This is very unique. We're very pleased and proud with it.
And you guys have been here in the new place.
Six months. It doesn't feel like 6 months, does it? It feels like it's been here a while. And
yeah.
And, you know, but I mean, the place has been here a while. But
so what was the brainchild behind this? You were talking about the impact.
Well, you know, I think my most impactful CE event was when I went to the Smilenium in 2005 or 2006. I can't remember the exact year with Ivoclar. They had their KOL meeting. I was very lucky to get invited. I felt very lucky to get invited at that time in my life. And we all stayed in these 8-bedroom pods. Mm-hmm. At this some resort in Orlando, but it was set up, you know, for families to stay, right?
Yeah.
And so we all stayed together, and, you know, we all stayed up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. You got to really engage with people. And so for me, that was, you know, that was unbelievable. I really wanted to do more of that. And so I've always, as I've gotten deeper and deeper into CE, I've always wanted to have meaningful, engaging CE events. That it's more than just the education. It's about being around like-minded people, mm-hmm. engaging, breaking bread, eating together, you know, maybe having to share a bathroom or a bedroom even together, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, having to come in and worry about getting shot and stuff at 2 a.m, you know, that kind of stuff.
No guard dogs or anything.
But no, so that was it. And then, you know, I've put it out there to my wife that I'd love to eventually have something like that. And then... at one time, I wanted to maybe build onto a hotel that, you know, maybe my dad would build a hotel here in Raleigh, mm-hmm. and then we could build onto that. And, you know, my wife happened to be looking for real estate, and she found this place, and she said, you need to do this. And I said, no. I said, I don't know if it's the right place. I don't know if I really, I doubted myself. Because, look, it's a financial commitment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely. Different. It's not a hotel seminar, right? So there is some fear involved in putting yourself out there.
There's an element of risk to it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so you know, at her urging, we said okay, and then, you know, I look like a hero now. So it's been great. It's been everything I've wanted to be. I think the weekend you were here, Ben, a couple of weeks ago, was the first time I went home to Meredith, and I went home and I was talking to Mona, my wife, and Meredith, and I said, really, that weekend was pretty close to exactly what I want this place to be. And that's when the first time we set up this, yeah. to have mm-hmm. what we call open mic night, and where we can have people ask questions, we can talk to some of the attendees, and really just open up about different things. And yeah, it was nice. I mean, it was... And yeah, and Ben was here for the first weekend we opened in February. Now.
Ben,
Ben's awesome. Our Wisconsin golf trip, my kids thanked you.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I'd say this is unlike any other CE event I've been to in all the best ways.
Yeah, well, it's summer camp. It's dentistry summer camp year round. But in a much nicer atmosphere than typical summer camp.
I feel like it's so much more chill than summer camp. Like it's...
Yeah, but it's fun like summer
camp.
Oh,
yeah.
At least, so how about this? Where the real magic happens is in our longer programs. Like you guys were here 3 nights, correct, Ben, when you came? And really, when you start getting... Like last night doesn't count because some people got here at 8, yeah. 7, some got here at 2 in the morning. So you kind of missed last night.
Well, just even today, mm-hmm. it's been so cool to see, like, you know, because it has that home feel, that breaking bread. So it's, I mean, like everything we do, it's making those memories.
Yes, it does have a home feel.
You beat us to it, gosh darn it.
That's what it's all about is, you know, we got people sitting around the room right now. You know, just, you know, doing this session, and that's fellowship, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, fellowship's the right word.
It is.
Yeah, that would be a country word, fellowship.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, you got to say it with more twang.
Fellowship.
Fellowship. I can't do it.
Fellowship.
I can't do it down here.
How many rednecks ever get here?
Feller. Feller. Fellowship.
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 I got a question I want to ask you.
Yes,
and
sir.
This is off the topic of dental.
And
I see all kinds of posts at the 3D events. Like mm-hmm. I've seen Sully make posts about this. I've seen Aaron make posts about this. What's the deal with the ice cream stuff?
Well, number one, I think you can look at me and see that I like to eat ice creams. ice creams.
That's a southern thing.
Yes, that's right. Plural everything. Somewheres, Kroger's,
and, yeah, look, yeah.
Ice creams.
I think sometimes... So it started with... Because number one, I like ice cream. Okay, so selfishly, I like to eat ice cream. And then, you know, I tell everybody, I'll give you as much as you're asking me. If you want to hang out afterwards, as long as it's not a family issue and stuff like that, I want to hang out. I like I like talking shop. It's what I like to do. And so it turned out when Sully was here, he would come and we'd be like, hey, like, I'm going to go get some ice cream. You want to come? And he'd go to get ice cream. And then I'd make him pay. You know, it'd be my hazing ritual. I'd make Sully, him pay. Yeah. And then so then it turned into one day, I think we had gone to the Beefmasters. And it was an hour drive from here. So we took a bus. And we all sat in the bus together. We were drinking on the way back. And I said, let's go have some ice cream. So we get to the ice cream place. And I'm like, I think Sully can pay for it. So then it became this whole thing of how much money can we get to spend on ice cream? And so that's where it's come into. And so we do credit card roulette now.
Okay.
And we either do hazing or credit card roulette. The hazing would be whoever the newest mentor is, or whoever the closest friend, you know, like somebody I know that economically it's not going to be a big issue, and they're not going to get we've had people get butthurt over losing, so we don't make them do it anymore. But, you know, that'll be good sports about it. Like, Ben would be a good sport about it, you know, and I might, you know, Ben's a paying attendee, so I can't do that to him. But when Ben comes back as a non-paying attendee, he will be hazed into paying for ice cream, and then we will make that bill, depending on the number of people, reach $400, $500, $600 for ice cream. And then now we do credit card roulette, where the instructors and mentors put their credit cards in, and one of us will pay for ice cream for the group when we go to ice cream. Now, since I'm a raging diabetic now, I'm not allowed to go to the ice cream place as much anymore.
Well, how much ice cream are you guys getting, and how many
people
are
there?
No,
it's not the ice creams are $5 each, and it's 20, 30 people. So it's not, you know, it's the T-shirts.
Okay.
It's the extra, like, we'll coach everybody. Everybody gets a large. You'll get as many toppings as you can possibly get. And then there's serious people that get, like, I'll have a mini, I'm on a diet, and I only want one topping. And then there'll be, like, me and JP, we'll get, like, 8 toppings, 9 toppings put in. We'll take one bite of it, throw it away. You know, we'll buy an ice cream cake to go and leave it there and give it to somebody else. We'll buy 20 T-shirts at $20, you know, $15 each.
Do these people know you by name now?
Literally, like, if Meredith goes or my kids go or somebody goes, they will send a gift for me. They're like, hey, your dad likes this. Can you give this to him? Well, one day they called and said, hey, we're having his flavor of the month is coming up.
That's awesome.
Because awesome. I can't imagine that anybody spends any more money than me at the ice cream place. So what's people. Amazing.
No, it's Sully. It's Sully that's
No, no. Money. Well, I mean, I make sure I get credit for it. It goes on my rewards card. But what's amazing is the original ice cream place was between my house and my office. The old training center, and then when we moved here, there happens to be another one of the same places just down the street. Mm-hmm. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. You know, you think about a CE event, like you mentioned the mastermind and the courses and the classes that you offer, but I mean, there can't be that many people out there that are doing that this level of training and also that level of friendship, that level of camaraderie, fellowship, and the kind of memories you can make at a course like this.
Well, I'd like to think there are a lot of great CE choices out there. You know, I didn't get to my stage of my career clinically without mentors and CE events that I went to and stuff like that. And I think the fellowship, to use that word, fellowship, is what you make of it. And so, for example, like, I'm going to a COIS seminar next April. I drag Sully, his dad, along. We're trying to get some other people to go with us. And to me, you know, we're going to try to rent a boathouse if we can get that to happen. If not, we'll rent an apartment there. And we'll all stay together. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's really what I'm trying to do. What I've always tried to do is make CE an event. Not, hey, I want to go learn, because I do want to do that, but I want to go with other people that will hold me accountable, like-minded people. I don't want to go with people that go because they want to go party or do whatever it is. You know, I want to go to people that we want to have a good time, but we're there because we want to be serious and they share the same dreams and visions for themselves as I do for myself.
Right. Quality. It's not just memories. You're making quality memories.
Yeah,
quality
absolutely. Memories. I mean, we hope. That's our goal.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not everybody leaves with a quality memory. And, you know, I mean that's, it happens. Yeah, listen, 95% of people do, 5% don't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think that's part of it. So.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, I mean, we sure appreciate all the hospitality because, you know, we're here for the oral conscious sedation course. Yeah. And man, it's been nothing but wow factor. It really has.
You know, I think sedation is, I think it's the most, one of the most underutilized and valued services we can add to our practice.
Let's clarify. Are you saying IV or oral or both?
Anything.
Okay.
Any of them. All. Okay. And I don't think one is better than the other. Mm-hmm. Now, we can argue about one safer than the other. One has better uses in certain situations. Yeah. We can argue all day about that. But for me, it's about what type of sedation gets you individually over your individual fear quickest to help your patients faster, right? And so for me, for 20 years of my career, it's been oral sedation. Only recently, only now have I started personally offering IV sedation. But we've had IV sedation services in our practice. Yeah. But those patients that are willing to pay for it, we'll bring the anesthesiologist in and let them do IV sedation, general sedation. But I've leveraged oral sedation at a great level for the benefit of my practice and my patients. Because remember, as I talked to you guys this morning about, it's time, fear, and money. Those are the three things we got to overcome with our patients.
Yep.
You know, and trust. We probably put trust in there too. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but it's time, fear, money, and trust. And sedation answers two of those questions. It helps with time, because you can get more dentistry done in less visits. And then it obviously helps with fear. And so sedation is an underutilized tool. You know, it's underutilized. I didn't really understand the true benefits of sedation until I made it part of the procedure for things that were longer than two and a half hours in my practice. And that's really when I unlocked the potential of sedation for us, because I wasn't interested in attracting high fear patients necessarily. I was just wanting to use it to, actually, I started doing sedation because I wanted to do more dentistry at one time. I wanted to do 3-4 hour long visits, and I needed some way to make it comfortable for patients.
Yeah, I think, so, you know, I just graduated this year. Right. And so I had asked several questions to a lot of mentors, you know, in my life out in Washington. I know some very successful dentists, and, you know, the unanimous consensure, if that's a word, consensus, there we go, is the two courses I needed to take, consensure, if I say it with a southern
accent. They know we're from Tennessee, they're going to give us slack,
so it's okay. There it is. Oh. So anyways, the two courses that they said to take as soon as I get out were an efficient root canal course and an oral sedation course, because they said the quickest way to see the return on my investment were those two. I didn't know why, I didn't know how, and then, you know, this is the one that has come highly recommended over and over and over again was, you know, T-Bone, you know, Brian, get in with their course.
Yeah, it's affordable. Right. Look, it's a relatively dry subject. No, you know, no offense to Brian and Sue. That's the reason I don't teach it, because I don't know if I could do it. And they're experts at it where I'm not.
Well, what I would say is,
but they make it fun and they make it very practical.
I was telling
and
them.
Very you know, they really bring it from a, like, hey, how do I actually make this work in my practice?
Well, and, I mean, we've known Brian for years, and he's been a good buddy. And I even told him this. I said, look, dude, we've been friends, and I knew it was going to be good. I didn't know it was going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, and in dental school, I got given a gift. Probably shouldn't say this on the air. I got given a gift my senior year, and it was a book of over 100 pages, and each page is a different picture of me sleeping in dental school. And so I told him at the beginning
that
of this,
successful.
I was like, look, dude, I'm sorry. You can tell me, just wake me up, call me out. I didn't fall asleep once. Yeah. And it caught your attention. You know, he kept it fun, enticing.
You know, and there's not sales pitches. There's not equipment. No. There's not, you know, we tell you where to get stuff, but there's.
Well, it's so tangible. You know, yeah, he'd say that, like, hey, look, this is what I use. It costs $1,200 for this monitor. This is the best one. This is the workhorse. I don't get a dime for it. This is what I use. If you want something else, cool. But this is what I'd say works. But it was just the application. It was a step-by-step. Here's exactly what to do. Here's a ton of case studies. Let's work through them. You know, what are you going to do in this situation?
You know, I think there's some benefits of not being super smart, right? Because you don't try to overcomplicate things. We don't try to get sciencey. We don't try to get academic. We don't try to get, like, all literature, like, literature reciting. You know, we take information, and we at least culturally, what I've tried to build 3D Dentists as is, listen, let me tell you what we're doing in our practice. You know, we've done it long enough. It's based on sound decisions and sound principles. Let's just talk about how to do it. If you want to learn all the academics, go on YouTube, you know, go on SlideShare, go on those places and get the academic part of it. But let's focus on what to do and overcoming fears, because sedation for me in the beginning certainly was a very fearful procedure. I was afraid to do sedation, you know, in the beginning because, you know, it's sedation, right? Yeah. I mean, so I was afraid.
It's one of those trigger words of like, shouldn't be messing with this.
And even patients are afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and I think part of what we have to do more sedation is to overcome their fear.
That's true.
Their fear of the fear or their fear of the sedation as well. So,
and that's the beauty about what you offer, T-Bone, is the practicality of the course. Mm-hmm. It's like you can go back to your practice and start doing what you're teaching.
Yeah, certainly, you know? Depending on state laws and terms of certification and all of that.
Yeah, in Kentucky, it's like 2 weeks.
So and that's special, you know, because there's a lot of fluff in other courses that you have to get through.
People keep saying that kind of stuff special. I just assume it's
common
not
sense.
It's well, I mean, that's how else are you supposed to do it, right? And I mean, how else do you want it? Well, right, and so you know, that's how I want it when I take CE. So that's how we give it when we do CE. Is it's about this is the information. You know, look, there's many ways to skin a cat. We're going to focus on one or two, you know, ways that focus on 80 to 90% of the situations. And when you get to a point where you need to deal with the 10%, you know, there's more training out there for you.
That's true. Well, I think you hit on a point there a few seconds ago, well, a minute, of talking about how simple is better a lot of times. And I think you do a really good job of turning things and I would say taking complicated aspects and giving them a simple focus. So
that's because I'm dumb.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say it honestly takes more of a skill to take a complicated issue and make it straightforward and digestible. So, for example, I wanted to pick your brain again on the commas and decimals.
Decimal point, yeah.
Yeah, so, and just to give you a background on me, I didn't know much of anything on dental business going into dental school.
Nobody does.
Yeah, well, spring of D1 year, I started listening to podcasts, and one of yours, and I mean, you're a pretty cool dude, and I don't need to pump your head up anymore. But
please do.
Okay, well.
My wife hasn't been doing a good job of it lately.
Okay, there is one podcast. She's been beating me down. I kid you not. I went and looked at real estate last week on the interstate to put up a stupid billboard because this T-Bone dude said, you know, if you buy real estate or lease it, you can put up two billboards, put the bottom one as someone else's, and lease it.
Yeah, so, we still have that business, believe it or not.
Oh, I mean, it made quite an impact. So I'm just saying, like, you make tangible ways, right? Like, I love real estate, and that was a simple one. I'm just going to lease a little spot on a billboard, put up my dental practice on the top one.
Yeah.
And so, all to say, you make things digestible.
You still have three more to do,
Yeah. So let's talk more on the commas and decimals. Yeah. Let's pour, you know, like, I'd say a similar concept to here is, like, don't step over dollars to pick up pennies, right?
Absolutely.
And so...
Yeah,
you
know,
that in the course today.
Yeah, I talk about because I think sedation is not a direct ROI.
Okay.
Okay, and it's
not free.
No, it's actually not. It's actually sedation. I'll argue that sedation costs you money to do.
Okay.
Okay, and it's not the pill. You know, it's not that. It slows you down a little bit. Okay. You know, in our office, it adds a half an hour to appointment times before and after. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it ties up a chair whether I'm tied up or not. So sedation is one of those things a lot of people say, well, it's non-productive time. it's costing me money. It doesn't make sense, right? And I look at sedation as a comma versus a decimal point.
Okay.
And the decimal point being, like, if you take $10,000, it's 10,000.00. And a lot of people, certainly younger dentists.
Yeah, like you were calling me out on it earlier.
Yeah, younger dentists. Well, you don't know any better. Okay, and we all live in
scarcity. That's why I'm here, right?
Yeah, we all live in scarcity in the beginning because, you know, we're riddled with debt and we take on more debt when we buy something and, you know, our income level isn't what mine is today. And so, I've been there. I get that. But we're focused on savings, saving dollars, not a savings plan, not trying to save for retirement or flexibility, but we're worried about savings. And then that savings mentality isn't commas. Commas make money. Commas move the needle. Like if something can make me $1,000, it's better than saving me a dollar, right? The team member that is focused on saving me in supply bill, like, oh, you know, I found this lidocaine for $5 cheaper. And I'm like, well, how much time did you spend finding the $5 cheaper lidocaine that we could have been taking care of our patients or doing whatever else it is? Right. And so when you as a leader, the leader of your business or leader of whatever it is, when you instill that mentality yourself, it only trickles down and it becomes pervasive in your team. So that's my concern with decimal point thinking and a savings mentality. And I think really the conversation came up this morning when I was cooking breakfast was you were talking about how much does Sarek save me in the lab bill? And I go, that's the wrong question.
Yeah, it was more of like, right. Okay, when do we get this piece of equipment and when does it financially make sense? And you were saying, hey, look, if it can make you more money now, which it can, why are you waiting?
Yeah, and why? Don't worry about how much it costs. It's free.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too. Teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Elaborate.
It's so free.
Like, it's free.
Ben, has your cone beam been free? Has your cone beam been free? Absolutely. Yeah. But you pay for it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Is it $100,000 or whatever? I don't know what the number is. It's not. It's $1,500 a month or $1,000 a month, whatever the number is. And then as long as that piece of technology is adding new revenue, new revenue. Now, what I don't believe in is when a rep comes and says, Doc, you only have to do one more crown to pay for this. Now, I have a problem with that, okay? Because then you're asking me to work more to pay for your product. And what I'm looking for is your product going to add a new revenue line for me? Is it going to help me diagnose better, okay? And is it going to help me do procedures I can't do otherwise? Is it going to reduce the amount of time it takes to do something? Is it going to make it easier for my patients to say yes? And those are all positive revenue producing situations. So then it's free, you know, and really it's got to be is, you know, the question I always say is you're ready to add technology. Number one, you got to believe that you're going to be a winner. Okay. You got to believe in yourself and then you're ready to add technology if you can fund it yourself for 6 months. In other words, can you carry the note for 6 months on your own? Then you're ready to buy technology. If your answer is, hey, I couldn't afford that if it made $0 for 6 months, you're not ready economically.
So expound on that, just because in my simple brain, I'm not wrapping around it. So 6 months, you're saying personal income, or you're saying, hey, look, I can pay it off in 6 months?
No, I'm saying, like, let's just use easy numbers, okay? Yeah. You buy something that's $1,000 a month, okay? Then I would say, could you afford to pay for it for 6 months if it just stood there in the corner?
Didn't increase your production, you're saying.
It didn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Okay, if the answer is no, then you're not ready for it. If it's trying to save you, if you're trying to buy something as a magic bullet, I don't think you're ready for it. If you go into it with a mentality that this is going to improve my practice, increase revenue, all of those things, then you're ready. Because, again, the premise is that you can take any piece of technology and within 6 months, you can make it work. You got to buy yourself a six-month runway. Okay, and that's what it is. A plane doesn't, like, outside of that one plane that goes straight up, right? How do planes all take off? They're on a runway, and that depending on how powerful the plane is or how good the pilot is, that plane needs either a shorter or a longer runway, correct? Yeah. So technology, dental practice, all of that stuff is a runway. Yep. Like my runway for many things is a lot shorter than most people. Ben's runway, Ben's in my mastermind, so I like making fun of him a little bit. Ben's runway, Ben is going to fly at 30,000 feet like everybody else. Okay, he's just going to take him 6 months longer to get there. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay.
Sorry, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He'll
there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
But it's you know, it's on point.
Yeah.
But so I think sometimes we forget about the part of technology we offer. We get so focused on the how do I pay for it, the decimal point.
Yeah.
That we lose sight of
what is it actually growing for the practice.
Right. And
so I guess what I'm hearing you say is like, look, you gotta just switch your focus. It's not like, hey, be done with your money, which I know you're not, right? Look where we're sitting. But well,
some could argue this is dumb with the money, but yeah, that's a different story.
That's fair. We already had that conversation. No. But what it's a refocus of like, how are you using your money? Just be smart with it. Like you need to quit focusing on the bottom dollar. Don't be dumb about how you spend it, but look more on, is this going to grow the practice? And
is it a logical decision?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
Don't get overwhelmed by debt.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm in more debt now than ever in my life, but I make more money than I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't, as a side conversation, because you guys appeal to a younger audience, I don't believe in paying off debt early.
No.
Like, I would not pay student loans debt off early. I would not pay off my practice loan early. I would not pay off my mortgage early. I'd pay off debt early, non-secured debt early. Yeah. Or, you know, depending on cash flow. But, you know.
That just gets into the conversation of, like, assets and liabilities, right? Like,
well, it gets into the cash is king.
Lend to things that generate you wealth.
Yeah. And cash is king, you know, and cash is flexibility. Like you can pay off something quicker. Like I would never pay off. Like I love it when people say, oh, it paid for itself in 6 months. I'm like, that's not true. It's simply not true. It's not, you know, something that cost you $100,000, you have to make $100,000 in profit to pay for it. Okay. And in the average practice to make $100,000 in profit, you're going to have to do $300,000 in dentistry. Okay. So, you know, and most of us don't pay off things in 6 months, nor should we. You know, technology is a little bit different, but you should try to finance it as long as you can within reason. You know, 5 years. I think technology is about 5, maybe 6 years.
Because it's outdated at that point.
Yeah, at that point it becomes obsolete. Matt, what you got, man? You're over here being quiet.
Oh, buddy.
He's the brains of the operation.
I'm just taking it all in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we appreciate you bring this in and telling us your wisdom. And ultimately, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. And it's really about like the opportunity you have in front of you, you know, because I mean, what you're saying is you work hard and you know, this place we're staying in, like for this oral conscious sedation course is amazing. And the place that they have the course in is awesome. And so it's like, you know, they have TVs everywhere. And so the concepts that T-Bone's talking about is really true. Like you can, like, it's all about like what you want to make of it.
Yeah. I'll give you another concept that I talked to you guys about this morning in that 5-10 minutes. I don't know if you guys know all the courses that we offer by the end of today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
You got them hanging up in the on the wall.
Because you have really good marketing and advertising.
Well, I wouldn't say we have good marketing, good in-house marketing. But we just we do good subliminal marketing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And so my question to each of you is whatever you want to do more of. If you want to do more amalgams, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I care, but it doesn't matter ultimately. You have to subliminally tell your patients what services you offer. And so where I'm right. trying to live my life, where I'm trying to practice what I preach is in this office, in this business, our education business, we have at our breaks and on the walls, we have signs of all the different things that we offer. Mm-hmm. Right. And so my question to every dentist, especially the younger ones listening to this podcast, is if I were a patient that walked through your office, could I know what you do, what you could offer me by just walking into your office without having to talk to a human being? And you go to any McDonald's, you go to any restaurant, you go to any car dealership, you go to any Best Buy. I don't have to talk to one agent or salesperson or team member to understand what they sell. And you go to any dental office and you have no earthly idea whether you're in a surgeon's office, you're in a perio office, you're in an ortho office. Nobody knows, because nowhere in that office does it tell you this is what you can buy from me. It's simple concepts like that that move the needle, because all you need is one patient to ask you a subliminal question. Hey, my husband snores. Can you help him? Hey, I'm missing my grandma's missing a tooth. Can you help her or him? Grandma is probably her, or her. But it could be a him. It could be a they or an it. I mean, I don't know. Or hey, you know, you really can straighten my teeth in 6 months. You can really straighten my teeth without braces, and so we rely so heavily on trying to put the sales process on our team members, and the team members should be closing, but the initial awareness part of it, a lot of that can be done through subliminal. Marketing,
absolutely,
and that's what you should have seen in the garage today, is the subliminal marketing of what we have to offer, just down from the product shelves of the different things that we work with.
And I want to know more about that surgical kit.
We're gonna buy a marketing product just because it looks cool.
Yeah, you should
before we leave here. Yeah,
yeah, I'd love to sell you. My kids will thank you.
Yeah, hey, and I'll tell them you're
the
welcome.
$50 to $80 I get on the surgical kit, I'll be so happy.
Anything we can do. This is the thing too. So let's talk about. So we're here for the oral conscious sedation course. Before we get off here, let's talk about what all 3D Dentist does offer.
That's great. Thank you. I probably should talk about what we have to sell.
Absolutely.
I just want to talk about other stuff.
This is awesome.
I just want to talk about other stuff. Because, on that note, we take for granted what we do. Right? I have a funny... I'll answer your question, I promise, okay?
Absolutely.
I had a epiphany moment. This has probably been 5 or 6 years now, maybe a little bit more. My mother-in-law came to me one day and she said, I went to the dentist in Florida, and you won't believe the amazing technology they had there. They have this machine that takes a CT of your jaw in the office. And I go, oh, who's your dentist down there? And she said, Dr. XYZ. I'm like, oh, I trained him last week. And what it told me was that when the novelty effect wears off within us, which is typically within 4 to 6 months, we stop telling our patients what we have in our practices, and our patients stop being excited about it, and we stop focusing on making sure that our patients know all this money we've invested in technology. So that's the other importance of subliminal messaging is do you have signs around your office that say, this is a CEREC machine, and this makes crowns in one day. This is a dental CT machine. This allows us to have x-ray vision and see, what your jaws look like before we start placing implants or whatever you want to use it for. Do we have signs around our office that let people know what these things are? As we lose excitement, the signs never stop talking. So, just as a side note, because I'm not talking about my own courses, for God's sakes. Here's what I would say is our goal at 3D Dentists is to help reduce frustration, overwhelm, and chaos in dental practices by helping people make dentistry simple so they can succeed in practice and win in their life. Because ultimately, the whole point of succeeding in dentistry is to win in life.
That's right. Right?
For me to be able to take exactly. 2 weeks off. My goal next year, I told Meredith already, is I want to go June 15th to July 15th. I want to take the whole month off. And me, I want to take me and my son, and we want to go play golf. I want to hop in an RV. I need to find somebody to drive it. I asked Meredith if she wanted to drive me around. But I said, you can bring your husband. You guys can drive it. Just drive me around. And I just want to drive. Because, you know, my son's 15. You guys remember being 15 years old.
Yeah.
You know, before you know it, you can be 17, 18, a couple of 3 years, and then, you know.
You know it, you're going to have kids.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't want to be a grandkid, granddad yet. But, you know, and you're not going to see your kids as much, right? So why am I trying to be successful? So that's a goal. And you know, so we want people to be successful in life. Some people are focused on money, and that's fine. Some people are focused on, hey, I just want to work less. Some people want to retire early. You know, whatever winning for them is, right?
True.
You know, like Ben wants to spend time with, he wants to go coach his kids' stuff. You know, he wants to go watch lacrosse. He wants to go do all that stuff. And that's great, you know? You know, so that's one part of it. And then I think to succeed, we need to simplify dentistry. You know, I don't know I can't remember, was I having this conversation with you guys or somebody else? I was told it was with Jock today. I was telling him that he needs to simplify how many procedures he does in his office. I think we have too many products on the shelf in most of our practices. I think we need to stop doing certain types of dentistry at some point in time, whether that's as a practice or whether that's as an individual. We want to do that. So we want to simplify dentistry. And what I tell everybody, because I want to add one thing to what you said, friend. I have a hard time calling your name, friend. I don't mind you being a friend, but to call you friend is...
Just call me Migo.
Vigo? Our friend,
amigo.
My friend.
Amigo. Yeah,
amigo. My friend.
I'm probably going to say something politically incorrect here pretty soon.
Do it, I dare you.
So you said your friends told you there were two things you need to do, molar endo.
First ones that I would see the soonest ROI.
Molar endo, sedation. I'm gonna add a couple of things to that.
Yeah.
Extraction grafting.
Okay.
Okay, because if I was forced to, I would take out teeth for free if you would say yes to the graft. Okay, because A, the graft is not covered by insurance, and it's more than the extraction, right? And it takes less time than the extraction.
Yep.
I mean, taking the tooth out is the hard part.
Got a course?
Yeah, we have the courses for that. But
oh my gosh, yes.
But I think even more fundamental than that
is
what we're doing next year in 2022 is our boot camp.
Okay.
And it's a 2-day program focused on team case acceptance, understanding, having a case acceptance journey, a patient case acceptance journey. And I think it's fundamental in this sense, you know. Most of us, many of us, were thinking, hey, you know, I want to be more productive. I need to add new procedures. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to say, new fancy procedures, single tooth implants, aligners, XYZ, okay? And what I know from experience is if you can't convince a patient to do a crown instead of a filling, if you don't have a process to help your patients do quadrants instead of single tooth, you're going to struggle for you and your team to get them to do more complex or comprehensive dentistry. And I think what's lost in dentistry right now in education is a great patient journey, is how is the patient buy your products. On the marketing side, it starts with some part of marketing subliminally and externally, but then it really starts with your tools for diagnosis. How are you diagnosing and communicating with your patients? What words are you using to communicate the dentistry that you need with your patients? How are you making it affordable for them? You know, what are the tools you have to help make it affordable? And then how are you making your schedule available to prioritize the procedures you want to do? You know, so Matt, I have a question for you. I don't know how busy your practice is.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a mature practice, relatively busy?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. Absolutely. I need 10 veneers. And it takes you 3 hours to do it. When can you put me in? In your normal schedule?
The honest answer is November.
November. So I'll take my $10,000-$15,000 and go somewhere else.
And
John Wesley, when can you see me for those 10 veneers in your normal schedule? Because I don't want you to give up your family time. Because look, I'll go do it right now. Yep. Right? We'll all go work now.
Yep.
But that's not fair to your family, correct? Or to your team. So correct. John, when can I go? John Wesley, I got to say it correctly. John B. John W. Outer Bay, John Netflix. Wesley. Okay, John Wesley. When can I come in and get my 3-hour appointment with you?
Pretty much same thing.
Now, you're different because you're young practice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when can I get that from you?
Well, once I close, I'll let you know.
Right, Ben, when can I get a 3-hour appointment with you? Yeah, so that's a different story.
Blocks.
But I don't want to get. I'm happy to go however long, however deep we want to go. There's a difference in block scheduling and priority scheduling. Okay. Priority scheduling to me is making time for what's important to you. And I think I said this today during our time. I said a lot of important things. I don't think people understand what I was saying. Is you got to make it important to you. For me, doing 15 to 20 implants per month is important to me. It's so important that I'll make 15 to 20 implant blocks, and if we don't have an implant in that time, I won't see anything else.
Okay.
Now, if I told you that if you don't bring me XYZ at this time, I'm not going to do anything, how important does it make it sound to you that doing that thing is for me? It's important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So what we're doing a lot of times with our scheduling is we're telling people this is important, but then we're saying, just fill it with anything.
So question on that. So I've heard of, maybe it's different with block scheduling, but I've heard of people blocking for certain dollar amount procedures.
Absolutely.
So like instead of saying, hey, look, every Tuesday morning, it's going to be blocked for an implant, saying, hey, look, it's going to be a $4,000 or more dollar procedure. Yeah. Is that the same thing? Or you're like,
no, it's different. It's conceptually very similar.
Okay.
So now everything's a journey to me.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all at different stages of our career. We all have a different runway. Okay. Yep. And we all have different aspirations of how high we want to fly.
Yeah, exactly. And neither one's wrong. It's just where do you want to get and how
you
want to get
there. Step one to me is block scheduling. It's fundamental.
Which is what I said.
Okay, which is what you say. Okay. Step two is priority scheduling. Okay. Which utilizes blocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead of dollar amounts, like, I'm not focused on the dollars. I'm focused on what procedures I want to do.
I gotcha.
Okay? I don't care. I don't want to do $4,000 in fillings. Like, even if a patient came to me and said, I'll pay you $4,000 to do a quadrant of fillings, I would say no.
Specifically the type of dentistry, what you want to do.
It's, for me, it's what's important
to
me.
If you want to get to surgery dentistry, you got to start blocking your schedule.
Got to. If you
make it a priority, it's like you got a fire underneath you, and you're going to make sure it gets.
Yeah, I mean, I started sweating like over here, and I'm not even in the hot seat. I'm like,
So this is the question. So, okay, the honest question you asked me, and the honest answer I gave you, what would you do with that scenario? Because I do have
Ben,
people.
What would you do if somebody? I'm going to ask Ben, and I'm asking Ben because he's in the Ben.
Ben is sitting out here in the audience. He's yes. Ben's sitting out here in the audience. Come here. Come here, Ben.
Ben, what do you do when a patient comes in and says yes to 3 hours worth of dentistry that you want to do, and you should be unwilling to come in after hours, except when you're in the survival phase? In the survival phase, I'll work 24 hours a day. But clearly, I'm past survival phase, okay? So I'm not gonna give up my non-dentist time. Hey, Ben, what's the answer right now to that three-hour block that you don't that you may not have right now?
I just reschedule everybody that's on that block that I want to put them at.
Yeah.
To get them in.
You just create the time. You call the non-important things that have taken your time, and you just move those patients.
What does that combo look like? Hey, I'm sorry, doc can no longer see you at Tuesday at 8 a.m.
Hey, friend, unfortunately, we've had a scheduling change, but we'd like to move your appointment to 6 months from now.
How does that work for you?
Yeah. It's fine.
See ya.
But the whole proportion,
or 3 months from now, or 2 months from now.
But the whole proportionality works out, correct?
Yeah,
that's how you look at it.
And so now, and so ultimately, in dentistry, we trade time for dollars.
Yeah, right. Totally.
At the end of the day, we're a commodity. Now the question is what commodity do you want to trade? Do you want to trade in gold and oil, or do you want to trade in silver and bronze? Okay, you're trading something, but which one pays better? Gold and platinum pay better than silver and bronze,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. So we're commodity traders, and it just depends what commodity do we want to be trading in. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you have an 8-hour trading day, do you want to be selling silver all day and making 1%, or do you want to be selling gold and make 1%? Which one are you going to make more in? Gold, because it trades at a higher dollar amount, correct? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
So I want 10% of a million versus 10% of 100 grand, right? And so you prioritize. Now, all that being said, I want to make sure this part gets out there with this, is this is all about when you get past survival phase. Survival phase, you got to pay the bills. Okay, got to pay the bills. You cannot be picky while you're trying to pay the bills. Okay, you got to get past that phase. Now, What happens is most of us never leave the survival mentality, and we just keep sticking and sticking and sticking and sticking stuff in, and then we create this chaos, and then we're trying to undo. And I actually think it's relatively easy to undo the chaos if you tell me what your runway is. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me, how long can you make no money for?
That's right.
Matt, how long can you make no money for?
To the end of the year.
Okay, 3 months.
3 months.
Yep. Okay, so you can go 3 months without making any money.
No, that you ask. I mean, I'd have to go back and dive into the numbers if you want an honest question. But that's my answer to that question.
Okay, so
3 months.
So I know we got 3 months to really buckle down and get things done.
Yep.
Okay, and then you got to have, it's a trusting process that in 3 months I'm going to tell you to undo your schedule and make priority. And so I'll give you another example. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had COVID. I hate talking about COVID, so I don't want to talk about COVID, but I want to use it as an example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. March, April and May of 2020, correct? And then we had the big dip 6 months after that, which would have been like October, November, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My new patient numbers doubled in October and November. Why was that? Why did my new patients double in October and November of 2020?
6 months out.
But why?
You had planned room.
Yeah, we not planned room. We just happened to have room because we didn't schedule anybody in April and May for 6 months from now. So we had an open schedule.
Right.
Yeah. And magically, that told me that we are literally turning away an extra 30 to 40 new patients per month because of my schedule. Yeah. Now, I talked about this last week at our open mic night. Again, trying to make dentistry simple, okay? Is why do we spend so much time begging people to come back to our practice and yet make it so hard for new patients to come in that are wanting to come to your practice?
Well, for right or wrong reasons, at least in education, we're sold the idea that the patient coming back has a higher rapport, therefore will accept your treatment
easier. The patient coming back is like going back with a girlfriend or a boyfriend that once dumped you before. What's the likelihood that they're going to stick with you the second time?
Not tracking.
You're not understanding?
Yeah, I'm not understanding.
Maybe I don't know if you go out with people and do that kind of thing, you know?
Now that I'm married, my love life is pretty consistent.
No, but a person that's proven to you that they're a... After they left.
I got you. Yeah. No, I'm saying like I would prefer the patient that's coming consistently, trying to get them back in for higher rapport if they need dentistry done, than fighting for the new patient I got to build that trust for the first time. You're saying someone who left and went somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm saying why we spend so much time working our over our 18-month over.
I'm
like
tracking.
Every guru out there will tell you, oh my God, you need to dedicate time to call these 24-month people that have been ditching your ass for 24 months.
You're saying, hey,
and at the same time, I'm not making it easy for all these people that are begging to come to my office.
I know what you're talking about.
And again, that comes from, again, not having a scarcity situation. I don't know if you're in a place where you only have 8 patients. I don't know. I mean, I'm very fortunate we live in a market that's doing pretty well, that's done well. But I think most markets in the United States have done well. Mm-hmm. There's some places that aren't. But I think that it has a lot to do with the human being leading and running that practice. But so to me, those kind of things are the simple things we can do. Like Ben, because you're here, okay? Only because you're here.
he may not be back.
Ben will 25% increase his practice as soon as he makes rooms for new patients. Mm-hmm. He's made it his situation, whether it's his own doing or just from not getting ahead of the growth, because Ben has waited too long to build a new building, and I still think he's building it too small. Okay. I'm going to keep saying that to you, okay? Okay. I still think it's...
My prayer is that you are
100% right. It's going to be too small, okay? It may not be too small right away. It certainly won't be too small right away. But within 5 years, it'll be too small, okay? When he makes it a new patient a priority, okay? And so if a patient doesn't want to schedule their recall with me, I'm happy not to schedule the recall with me because we have alternate. Now, if we didn't have other people trying to come in, then certainly I'd beg you to come in. But when we're turning, like my next new patient visit is 6 weeks from now. It's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. We want to get new patients in with, my goal is within 2 weeks. Within a week is my goal. You know, I'll accept 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, but this 6 week business is horrible, and I can't fix the problem because I can't get a hygienist, right? So then the question becomes is what is my solution? Yeah, you know, to me the solution is, all right, we're gonna get rid of some patients. How do we get rid of patients? Don't reschedule C patients. So it's a 6 month plan to create more space 6 months from now, assuming I don't get another hygienist, or I don't have space for another hygienist, or I don't want to have more human beings around. Mm-hmm. You know, because all of those things are possible. Like I may not want to build a new building, right? Because I'm at max capacity. I may not want more human beings around because I don't like people, right? So we'll stop pre-scheduling 6C patients, mm-hmm, or people we don't like, whether they do dentistry or don't do dentistry. If we don't like them, we'll stop scheduling them. And that will, in turn, 6 months from now, create more space for new patients. And then we've turned off following up with our overdue recalls that are more than a year out. If you're more than a year out of overdue, because right now it's acceptable to be a year overdue because of whatever craziness has happened in the last year in our lives. Yeah. But if you're more than a year overdue, you're not going to get a phone call or a concerted right attempt from us to come in.
Well, it's clearly not their priority to come back.
Yeah, and if and when they're ready. And
it's just visions don't align.
Yeah, if and when they call us, then we'll be happy to try to work them in a normally scheduled time. So another person in our mastermind, Ashley, saw her new patient numbers double by simply making it a priority to have new patient blocks.
That's awesome.
Just block them and make them sacred. You know, they got to be awesome. Sacred. Yeah. You got to make them sacred. Yeah. And whatever the number is, okay, whether it's, I don't know, how many new patients do you see per month right now? Hygiene new patients come in for comp exams.
I mean, maybe in the 20 or 30 range.
Okay, 20 or 30. There. All right, so... I how long does it take? If I called your patient office now, I'm new to town, I want to come see you, get my teeth clean as a new patient, when could I get my appointment?
I would willing to say over the 6 week mark, so maybe even 7.
October?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even past right. that probably.
So then I would guess that your new patient potential is probably close to actually 40 per month. And the first step to seeing 40 is to block 40.
Right.
That's a combination of priority and block scheduling. You're prioritizing new patients.
Do you put a lot of them on the same day, or do you split them up to try and get a consistent day?
So we try to create consistency in our practice.
Per day. Okay.
We try to do X, or you may experiment with having new patient days.
Okay.
See
what works for the practice and the culture and the team.
It varies, right? There's so many ways to skin a cat. Like one of the mm-hmm. things that we're doing when multiple doctors, once you get past two doctors, when you get to three doctors, is we want to move to a hygiene only day, where as a dentist, I come in, I don't do any clinical dentistry. I do all the hygiene checks and consults in the practice.
That's going to be you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll come in and do all the hygiene checks and consults in the practice.
Really?
Yeah, and won't do any dentistry. And I'll argue it'll be my most productive day of the week because I will diagnose so much dentistry and be very selective about what dentistry I do in that day because I won't have any. Like, I bet money that we all diagnose better and close better when we're not running around and when we're not rushed.
Absolutely.
Now, it's hard to do as a solo dentist or even two dentists, but when you get to that three dentist mark, you can suddenly start having exam days. I shouldn't say hygiene days. You have exam days where all you do is your exams. And then imagine how much more productive and efficient you would be
when you don't have to do those.
When you don't have to do those hygiene checks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm young and I still can't. I mean, like, I can't do it. I'm hoping one day. But it jacks up my mind, my workflow.
So another thing back to the courses you asked about, because that's what got us on this, is there's two things I'm
getting dizzy.
I love it, baby.
There's two things I think everybody should do that we offer.
Yes.
Not everybody. There's two things that people, everyone should strongly consider if it's the right fit for them. It's our boot camp. It's a case acceptance journey for your patient, getting you and your team members on board on how to do beyond single tooth dentistry so that you can do more advanced procedures when that clinical skill set comes around, and then our mastermind. I think our mastermind, and I don't know how to describe a mastermind. People say, what am I going to learn?
That's 6 months though, yeah?
I don't know what you're going to learn. You're going to learn what you put into it.
No, how long is the mastermind
for? It's 6 months, and then we have options to continue the coaching part along as long as you want.
Okay.
Okay. So because the mastermind is what's not available in dentistry right now. Yeah. Most of us, and I'm just as guilty of this because I'm doing it, I've done it now, is we bring consultants into our practice to do our team. Okay? Most of us bring consultants in to do our team. But nobody coaches the dentist to build a practice that they dreamed they would have. Now, so honest question, is your practice what you dreamed it would be in dental school?
I would say yes and no.
Okay. Are you doing all the dentistry you wanted to do?
Not yet.
Okay, at the schedule you want to do it at? At the pace you want to do it at the profitability? Like, we all had these grandiose, whether they're grandiose or not, we all had these visions and dreams about what we wanted dentistry to be, mm-hmm. and then nobody coached us because we got started in survival phase, right? Yep. In survival, we never left survival mentality, and we don't tighten it up down the road. So, yeah. Yep.
Well, T-Bone, I think if this podcast has shown me anything, it's like we got to get you more on.
Well, this is the thing.
Cut these up into 1 and 3 episodes.
Seriously.
Everybody listening, I hope you had your pen and paper out. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, it's all about purpose. I mean, honestly, it's all about your purpose of why or what you want out of dentistry and why you got into dentistry. Yeah. Really. I mean, because...
And that purpose changes year over year.
5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Look... Come to me 5 years. Like right now, I've probably said multiple times, I want to be done in 3 or 4 years, correct? Mm-hmm. That's because absolutely. I'm being pulled by my teenagers, right? Now, when my teenagers are gone, what the hell am I going to do? Right? So three or 4 years from now, my needs and desires will probably be very different than mm-hmm. there are today. And we don't adjust. Like, were you married when you started your practice?
Yes.
Yeah, were you married when you started your practice?
I was, yep.
Yes. You were, what the hell? All right. Well, nonetheless, okay, did you have kids when you started your practice?
My son was born 2.
And how many kids do you have now?
3.
3. Are your needs different today than they were 5 years ago?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. But has your dream and vision and the way you run your practice, has it changed in the last 3 or 4 years? Probably not. No. We just do the same thing over. We do the same thing over and over again, but yet we're not adjusting. And that's what I think. That's where I think mastermind and coaching is great. You get an outside perspective of helping you get clear on some of those things, because sometimes I need it. I need that in my own life, right? Mm-hmm. Like for me, my number one coach is my wife, luckily. She happens to give me a lot of medications. But yeah, really? So no,
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, I keep talking a lot.
For anyone that's interested, how can they get hooked up with this? How can they get involved? Like, what do they do to actually get started?
That's great thing. So obviously you can visit our website, 3D-dentists.com. Mm-hmm. You can hit me up on social media. I'm on most platforms, which is, for me, it's Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I'm there. You can contact us at, you can talk to Meredith at 855-332-2285, or you can email meredith@3d-dentists.com. And soon, Meredith will have a calendar link where you can schedule a strategy call with her, and she can help decide which route would be the best of where to start, because there's so many places to start. Like we didn't talk about our implant training, our sleep apnea training, our digital dentistry training, because it's, again, it depends where we're at in life, you know, so, and what our goals are. And, and I, one more thing I want to add to you, friend, is I would learn how to take, I talked to you about taking our teeth
and grafting
because those are it's a basic skill set that'll extend to you can't do full arch implant surgery if you don't know how to take out teeth. You know, you can't do you know, all that stuff. You learn how to do flaps with taking out teeth and grafting. Learn how to do good suturing. You know, all of those things come from it. And so those skills build. Like, it hurts me when people say, oh, I want to go learn how to do full arch implants. I'm like, well, have you talked to a patient about how to do a crown instead of a filling? Have you talked to people about doing 3 teeth instead of 1 tooth? How the hell are you going to talk to somebody about sticking $30,000 worth of stuff in their mouth?
That's true.
Yep. You know, until that happens. And and by the way, most of those patients don't come in with money to pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Most of those patients don't. I mean, at least 90% of my full arch cases don't pay for it, you know, and it's not free. So... Nonetheless, I kept talking.
Well, hey,
that's awesome. I mean, we've got a lot of wisdom just from this. I mean, geez, it's been we've had T-Bone on, and it's like he's got a lot of wisdom to share,
and
right?
If you want to reach T-Bone, his personal cell is
919-244. No, my personal cell is 919-244-7645. I don't answer phone calls, but I do take texts.
Awesome.
And I'm happy to help. You know,
well, he's gonna get the call. Boom.
Well, guys, well, this has been awesome.
Well,
it's been special.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, my friend.
I wish I could say that was original. Yeah. I tell people all the time now, I'm like, look, if you can bring me an original one, I'll find something special for you.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got a lot of more awesome content coming up for you. Stick around.
Peace.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, press the record button.